Let's get in God's Word together. So we're in Genesis this year. If you're visiting with us, our year theme is Let There Be Light, which God says at the beginning of the Bible in Genesis chapter 1, verse 4. And that's our theme for this year, Let There Be Light. And what a theme in God's providence that we can talk about light in this dark and difficult time and where it's so confusing. And what are the truths of who God is and how is He shining light into this time? What does all of that look like? And so today we're in Genesis 26, so we're more than halfway through the book. We're endeavoring to get all the way through it this year. We will. It's going to happen. Have hope. It's going to be good. So Genesis 26, title of the sermon is God's Presence When You Are Weak. God's Presence When You or We Are Weak. So I want to just let you into my life a little bit. I think a lot of us have been running on adrenaline since all of this started 6-7 weeks ago, and now there's a national shortage of adrenaline. All right, there's no adrenaline, and now we're thinking I got to order coffee, but maybe coffee takes a little longer to get to my house. Oh no, what are we gonna do? Right, and adrenaline is a chemical that God has created to help our bodies through times when we need a little extra energy. But the reality is, adrenaline runs out. It's not eternal, and it doesn't help us consistently. And when it runs out, which is likely happening to many of you, as it did to yours truly this past week, we recognize something kind of difficult about ourselves, and it's that we are weak. It's that we're weak and that we need the Lord and we need someone helping us, and it makes us uncomfortable, but it's true. In that moment of realization, honesty with ourselves, like we're weak, we need something that's stronger, someone that's stronger, we turn to the Lord, and God uses that. And I pray that that'll happen for you today as we look at God's living word as applied to your life. Praise the Lord that God doesn't mock us from atop some perch on a playground pointing at us saying, weakling, weakling. He doesn't do that. He sees our weakness and He meets us there and He comforts us. And He not only comforts us, but He strengthens us. And He points us to some very important things over and over. Majority of us know that when we are weak, God is strong. And He's strong all the time, but we can really sense that He's strong while we are weak. And we've been there many times, and this is one of those seasons, and I want to encourage you toward that now and embracing that today. Twice in our passage today, at the beginning and at the very end, we see God meeting with Isaac, part of the line toward Jesus Christ, Abraham, his son Isaac, and that's where we are in the book of Genesis. We see Him meeting with Isaac twice. During some very difficult, tumultuous times, Isaac feels like he has all of this weight on his shoulders because of the responsibility given to him and who his daddy was and who his kids are going to be and all the promises that have been given to them, lots of pressure, but things aren't going super well. And so what does God do in the midst of all of that? We see God meet with Isaac twice in the same chapter, and He says the same things to him on two different occasions over several years and period of time. So we want to look at those today. And this is the message that He's delivering that I want to get to you today. And it's really, really simple, y'all. It's very simple. God is telling Isaac and He's telling you today who God is, who you are, and where everything is heading for sure. And how helpful are those three things right now? Who God is, who you are, and where everything for sure is heading. Right, and that's so helpful during this time. And I think about a coach at halftime of a sport that we used to watch. All right, he's sitting them down and he's saying to the guys or the gals, hey, work the fundamentals. Do the primary things that we've done in practice so many times during this difficult time as you go out into the second half. And listen, I think we're kind of through phase one of this, experiencing this virus time in our culture. I think some things are about to shift, but it may be a little bit longer till we're back together. It may be a little bit longer until some norms begin to come back into your life. So what do we do? If this is halftime, if we can just kind of call it that today for the purposes of this message, what are the fundamentals? And the fundamentals to you are who God is, who you are in God, and then the things that are coming are sure because of God. So here's the big idea I want to point you toward today. It's that God's presence is sufficient in your weakness. All right? God's presence is sufficient in your weakness. And you think, how is that possible? How can God be sufficient in my weakness? Like, really, I've got all of these material needs. I got to get this and that, and I'm worried about a job and a home and my kids and all of that. How can his presence be sufficient in my weakness? And I want to prove that to you in this passage today as we see God meeting with Isaac in the midst of some really big things, some international things that he's facing. So let's endeavor to go about proving that he is present and that's sufficient in our weakness as we go to God today. So here's the first thing I want to point out to you. It's that God's presence is sufficient during famine. All right, God's presence is sufficient during famine. Look at this from chapter 26, verses 1 through 5. It says, "Now there was a famine in the land besides the former famine that was in the days of Abraham." So this is another famine. So famines are common. "And God, and Isaac went to Gerar, to Abimelech, king of the Philistines. And the Lord appeared to him and said, 'Do not go down to Egypt. Dwell in the land which I shall tell you. Sojourn in this land, and I will be with you and will bless you. For to you and to your offspring I will give all these lands, and I will establish the oath that I swore to Abraham your father. I will multiply your offspring as the stars of the heavens, and I will give to your offspring all these lands, and in your offspring all the nations of the earth shall be blessed, because Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws." So one thing that's really amazing to see in these few verses right here, just 1 through 5, is that opposites attract. Opposites attract, right? So you've got a famine happening in the land, and you have fellowship with God and God's presence happening to this man who's enduring the famine. And sometimes we think, oh man, everything's messed up, everything's gone, their food is scarce, things are difficult, jobs aren't there, what's the future look like? But what is consistent through all of that? It's fellowship with God. And I just love that God is coming to Isaac and giving him direction about what to do. He doesn't say where things are going to come from yet. He just says, go here, settle here, I'm going to meet you there. And God reminds Isaac exactly of who God is, of who Isaac is, and the promises that are associated with him, just as they are for us as Christians, and then the future that's coming for sure. We don't know a lot of the material and physical things that are coming here in our lifetimes, but we know everything that is beyond that, the more important things. And those promises are so amazing as God is giving those to us. So we see several really important things here. One is that famines are still occurring. We see that there was already one for Abraham. We see that there's another one now. So things like famines occur, and all of us agree. And sometimes we shake our fists at God, like, God, isn't this supposed to be heaven? No, it's not. This is the world. Heaven, where everything is perfect, is coming. And so one of the major ways to just deliver ourselves from shaking our fists at God is to act as if God has said this world is going to be perfect for us. It's not. God has said we'll have tribulation here. We'll have trouble here. There's famines for Abraham and Isaac, and things are going wrong. There's virus now. And so things like this, bad things are happening, but who is with us through the whole thing, reminding us of the fundamentals? It's God. Some of you are facing significant challenges, and you've told me about those, and some of you are facing significant challenges and you haven't told anybody about it, and we want to encourage you to tell someone. Tell me, tell your small group leader. Let us know if you're watching this and you're facing some stuff and you need some prayer, you need some help. Message us. Let us know so that we can reach out and encourage you any way that we can. We're all feeling the squeeze in some way. Famines are still occurring today, just like they were back then for Isaac. The second thing we see is that fellowship with God is still occurring. Fellowship with God is still occurring as well. We have the same interaction with the Lord. We have the same fundamental truths from God, just like Isaac got back in the day, and God meets with us still today. And he does that even though we're not here in this building together. We, the church, are God's people, and he meets with us individually, meets with us together through times like this. And for sure, in this passage, if I were to ask you, what was the most significantly sufficient thing to Isaac during the famine? His answer would have been God. Not food, not direction for the next day, but God himself. Because when you know that God is with you, and you know that God, who is eternal and above the heavens and above all of this, is with you, and things inside you, your soul stuff, is good with God, that gives you such peace and such assurance, and it is sufficient. And that's profound. And I know atheists would just scoff at that and be like, that's so dumb. That doesn't make any sense. How could that help you? How about we do something physical to help? Well, sure, yeah, we want to be all about those things as well. And we're praying toward those things. But there's deeper things. There's deeper things that God gives that cannot be taken and cannot be shaken. I emailed you this week in the weekly update that one of the cool glory stories that's happening right now is YouVersion, the Bible app that we use and maybe you're even using right now to follow the outline. They've seen 1.6 million prayers posted since the beginning of this virus, just 7 or 8 weeks ago. Amazing. They've seen more of an uptick in downloads of their app, the Bible app, and people logging on to Bible reading plans and reading about prayer and understanding who God is. They've seen a bigger surge of that than they've ever seen, and that's worldwide. And what's encouraging to you and to me about that is revival is happening. God is using this time and he's bringing his fellowship to human beings that he's created during this time of suffering. And he's giving his eternal truth through his word, through his presence, through prayer, through fellowship. We've enjoyed some great conversations with our neighbors and encouraging people. And how are your eyes opening during all of this? And it's been great to be able to serve people with the eternal truths of God and asking some questions that everyone's asking. What is happening right now? What are you learning? What are some things that are blessings right now? And what's hard? And how can we help you? Isaac understood very quickly, as we do, that God is our help in trouble, that God is near, that prayer means that God hears. And all of that is awesome. Let me encourage you and maybe correct you on something if you need to hear this. We can read the news and we can gasp. Right, we can think, oh my goodness, this is happening, and we can kind of freak out. And I think people, I'm seeing this in the last few weeks, people are trending more toward a political persuasion again, and they're getting angry again on Facebook and all of that stuff. And I just want us to chill on those things and recognize all of those things are coming at us all the time. And those are sure options, things we can react to, things we can think about, but there are bigger realities that God is trying to get to you every day, and it's who he is, it's who you are in him, and it's where things are heading for sure, and that's what God has in store for us in the future, and that he's in control. He's in control. And I want us to be thinking about those. I want those to be priorities for us. Let God feed you more than your feeds feed you. I think that is so important, and that's something that can be really distinctive about us Christians, something that sets us apart and can really shine light, is you know what? That feed, I know about that story, neighbor. I know about that story, friend, but the bigger thing is this story right here, and I think that shines such light right now in these difficult times. The people in the Bible are really relatable. And just think about Isaac in this moment. There's a famine, and he's got a family. He's taking care of his family. He's got a wife. He's got some kids, and he's got to move because there's a famine. He's going to a place. He's going to a place he's never known before. None of us know this zone we're in right now. And his knee-jerk response could have easily been, I got to go find toilet paper right now. I got to go get some chicken right now, right? That could have been his response. And he might not have let God sit down with him and help him through this time. But instead, he let God sit down with him. He let God minister to him. He let God say to him the same thing that he was saying to his father, Abraham. That God is with him, and that God has a plan, and that God, his blessing is on Isaac. And those are such important things. And I just want to encourage you, let the Lord sit you down. Have you let the Lord sit you down and just minister to you? Or are you hopscotching your meeting with God because times are tough and those temptations to get stuff done are pretty big and in your face? So you're hopscotching your meeting with God so you can get something done that maybe satisfies you for half a day. I just want to remind you, get with the Lord who satisfies you eternally, right? God's presence is sufficient in your during famine. Meet with God. And just for a minute, forget the direction that you want. Forget the answers to the questions that you need. And just let him remind you who he is and who you are in him and that everything is going to be okay because he's in control. All right. So first, God's presence is sufficient during famine. Second, God's presence is sufficient when you sin. All right, so this one's a little more teethy. It's got a little bit more bite to it. God's presence is sufficient when you sin. So hang with me and follow along as we go through this because this is really important. Famine is real, sin is real, and God's presence is sufficient in both of those. So look at this, 6 through 11 from Genesis 26. So Isaac settled in Gerar. He did exactly what God told him to do. When the men of the place asked him about his wife, he said, "She is my sister." For he feared to say, "My wife," thinking, "Lest the men of the place should kill me because of Rebekah," that was Isaac's wife's name, "because she was attractive in appearance." When he had been there a long time, Abimelech, king of the Philistines, looked out the window and saw Isaac laughing with Rebekah, his wife. So looking at this word laughing, it's like the kind of playful, flirtatious laughing that a man and his wife would share. They weren't just telling a joke. Like, this is kind of flirty, right? And so Abimelech says, "Those two are married." So married couples, flirt with one another, all right? Be romantic, laugh with one another. Verse 9, "So Abimelech called Isaac and said, 'Behold, she is your wife. How then could you say, she is my sister?' And Isaac said to him, 'Because I thought lest I die because of her.' And Abimelech said, 'What is this you have done to us? One of the people might easily have lain with your wife and would have brought guilt upon us.' So Abimelech warned all the people, saying, 'Whoever touches this man or his wife shall surely be put to death.'" So Isaac follows in his dad's sin of lying. Abraham did this very thing twice, and Isaac here does it again. And reading this is just mortifying to me as a dad of four kids. I regularly check on my boys at night, and I pray. I look at Luke and Ben, and I pray, "Lord, deliver them from the sins and the temptations that I struggle with. Deliver them, God." And I am frightened about passing on those things to them. And it's one of the bigger checks in my spirit regularly. And I pray that for my boys. I want to ask you a question. Do you think Abimelech, or maybe this is Abimelech's son or grandson, do you think he was briefed about Abraham and his family? So Abimelech's grandson or son, or maybe this is the same Abimelech, but it's probably because of time lapse, it's probably his son or grandson. Do you think he's like, "Son, here is my treasure chest, and here is my sword, and here are the launch codes, and here is my briefing notebook about this one family, Abraham and Isaac, and how they tend to lie and say that their wife is their sister because they distrust their Lord, and that brings ultimate mayhem upon us in our kingdom?" Do you think that they did that? There was any sort of such briefing? And if there was, then they obviously didn't capture it in this moment, because he still got duped by Isaac and Isaac's lie. And just like in the previous passages where this same lie happened, Abimelech is the one that takes the high road and is the moral guy. It's so interesting. Sometimes we learn so many lessons through people that are not walking with the Lord. When we come out of coronavirus or COVID-19 or CV or whatever we're calling it right now, we're all going to think and behave a little bit differently. I think our culture will. I think our world will. I think there'll be probably a more drastic change of behavior, and then it'll settle in, and then probably we'll go back to pretty similar to how we once were and how we once behaved over some time. But one thing will be the same. We will be tempted similarly as we've always been. So vaccines and treatments and us getting back to norms, they don't erase our soul and our heart stuff that's happening. That's why Jesus came to bear our sin and to grant new life for us. He needed to get to the deeper things, the thing that matter most for eternity, the things that matter most for our relationship with God, and he came and took care of those things. And right now, we could be thinking about taking care of all the other things, figuring out how to do school at home and figuring out how to shop and how to wear masks or gloves or whatever, all of those things. But I want to ask you, are you thinking about your relationship with the Lord during this time? We naturally think of crisis as, you know, loss of job or loss of life or loss of health or loss of a key relationship. And those for sure are crises. But I think one of the things that I'm noticing as pastor and even in my own personal life is that a crisis that the Lord is allowing in us by his grace, because he loves us, he disciplines those he loves, is he's showing us our sins and weak spots, because they're magnified even more because of this season and this time that we're in. Right? It's very likely that if you were struggling with something or tempted by something or something in your life wasn't great already, it's probably worse now. And by God's grace, some things may be way better, and you needed this season to just sit down and have some relaxed time, maybe, if you are getting some of that. So while we're scrubbing cereal boxes for the first time ever, let's let the Lord scrub what's coming to the surface in you. So let me ask some tough questions, right? This point is God's presence is sufficient in your sin, right? I told you it was kind of a little tougher and a little teethier. So here we go. Is your marriage struggling? Is your marriage struggling? And if so, get prayer and love from your small group leader or your small group. Or log into Right Now Media, which you have a free account to, and watch a marriage series together. Get some counseling. Reach out about those things and let the Lord, who's allowing the squeeze of that now, a magnified problem, allow him to do something with it so that on the back end of this, you're looking at it and saying, God did that. He helped heal that through this virus. He did imaginably more than I could have ever thought or guessed. The second question is your patience thinner than tissue paper right now? Maybe it is. Maybe there's something in your life where you're thinking, I am out of patience with this. I cannot deal with this anymore. And if that's the case, I pray for you, and I pray that you will think on how patient God is with you, and that that'll give you perspective in those moments to be patient. Pray for God to help you, the God of all patience, to help you. Maybe you're concerned about money, partly because of bad stewardship in the past, and this moment has reminded you, man, I got to get on top of this, because things like this can happen in this world, and I really hadn't made a big plan financially, and I really wasn't being a great steward, and maybe there's time now for you to get God running your budget rather than you running your budget, for you to honor him amidst this. Or maybe, fourthly, you're privately addicted to something, and that's increased. And I want to encourage you to confess that to the Lord and get accountability around that in your life such that that isn't hamstringing you any longer, and that you can throw off the sin and the weight that so easily entangles, and you can run the race that God has set out for you, and so you can repent and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And God's presence is sufficient when you sin. We know that because Jesus paid the penalty for your sin on the cross, which we just celebrated on Good Friday. And then he rose from the grave, giving new life. He knows that his presence is sufficient for us because he's alive. He paid the sin and he's alive and he's risen. So he is here for us. So let him in there. Let him heal you. Let him heal you. So God's presence is sufficient during famine, and God's presence is sufficient during sin, and God's presence is sufficient during ease or trouble. And here's the last point today from Genesis 25, 12 through 33. Let's look at ease first. His presence is sufficient during ease. So in 12 through 16, Isaac's material blessing grow greater than that of King Abimelech. Just imagine that. Isaac is living in Gerar where the king is, and Isaac's material blessings grow greater than the king of that area. In church, I just pray that we, knowing that we have more spiritual blessing and more blessing from the Lord than anyone around us because of our faith in Jesus Christ, I pray we would live that way around the people that may have more materially than us. But we know that the spiritual lives that we have are so wealthy because of the Lord's grace in our lives. And we should be the most generous people in our city with the material things that we have as a result of the spiritual perspective that we have and the spiritual identity that we have. Here's some examples of what this could look like for you right now. If you've just gotten or about to get a stimulus check, I just want to ask you, how can you glorify the Lord with that money right now? It may be that you need to invest that right into your family because things are tough. It may be that you can bless another family or another person. It may mean that you can bless a ministry through that. I want to encourage you to ask that question. How will you glorify God with that? If you still have your job during this time, thank God for your job and realize that's a grace from him that you still have it. And then more than ever, glorify God with the things that you are doing in your job. Give him the glory for it. Do it for the glory of the Lord. More than ever, because you realize how precious having a job is. And then the third one, if you still have the ability to have three meals a day in your home, I pray you'd thank God for that as well, the giver of that food, the provider of that. There's a lot of people, as we've seen in our city, that don't have that advantage right now. And it's more people than we're used to. And I pray that you have a heart that's tuned into that and that you'll think about using the material wealth that God has given you to bless the needs of people around you, not just necessarily food needs, but others as well. We're Christians, y'all. We're Christians. We have been given everything from the God and Father of all, who is the giver of every perfect gift. And we want to bless other people with what he's done for us. So that was ease. Next is trouble. So trouble, in 17 through 22, Isaac finds water, all right? And this is a really arid area where he is in Gerar, this land of the Philistines. It's very arid, it's very dry, and so he finds water. And that's a huge deal. And because he finds water, there's a turf war that ensues. Hey, you're not supposed to be here. This is our land. What's up with that? You can't use this well. And it got so bad with that turf war that he named the wells Contention and Enmity, as you can see in your footnotes in your Bible, right? He didn't name them Aquafina and Deer Park. He named them for the difficulty that they caused him and his family and the leadership and all of that. This was trouble. He comes upon something. He thinks it's great. He says, God, thank you. And then immediately he's met with trouble. And that happens to us. And for him, so much so, he named them Enmity and contention. And it wasn't until well three that one gets called room for us. So the question here is, who is present even in our troubles? And the answer to that question is God. God is right there with him and right there with you, whether it's enmity, contention, or room for us. He is right there with you through it all. He's the consistent thing. While everything else is inconsistent, he is consistent. God's presence is sufficient in ease or in trouble. Look with me at verses 23 through 25. It says, from there he went up to Beersheba, and the Lord appeared to him the same night and said, I am the God of Abraham your father. Fear not. I am with you, and I will bless you and multiply your offspring for my servant Abraham's sake. So he built an altar there and called upon the name of the Lord and pitched his tent there. And there Isaac's servants dug a well. So what did God do here? After the ease, after the enmity, enduring both of those things, what did he do again with Isaac? He met with him. He met with him. God sat down Isaac, and Isaac submitted to that. And God said, here's who I am. I am the God and Father of your father Abraham. I will multiply you. I will bless you. You're part of this blessing. And then he said, trust me into the future. So all the main things that we struggle with, who God is, who we are, and what the future is going to be, God answers in a matter of sentences to Isaac again, second time in this passage. God's presence is sufficient for us. So this passage in verses 25 through 33 describe three results from the God and Isaac hangouts. And I want to encourage you that these same three results can happen for you in your hangouts with the Lord. The first one is worship. All right, we see that Isaac built an altar right there, an altar of worship to God, that when he leaves that place, he'd come back and he'd see that and he'd remember God did that. God did that. So he's worshiping the Lord. He's saying, God is my strength. God is my way. God is with me. All right, dude was on a trip, but God was with him. And right now we're on a trip. This is weird. But God is with you. God is with you. So let's worship. Let's worship him. Where you are. Build altars where you are. That can look like journaling it down. It can look like talking to the Lord about what it is, talking with your family, celebrating what he's doing in your life. Maybe it's a thing that you're turning from and believing. Worship the Lord during this time. The second one is witness. Witness. So the pagan Abimelech, the king, He says, you are now the blessed of the Lord. That's amazing. This pagan king recognizes in Isaac that Isaac has a relationship with the creator of the heavens and the earth, and that that creator of the heavens and the earth, God, has blessed Isaac to the point where this pagan king says, you are now blessed of the Lord. He calls out the name of God and honors God for blessing Isaac. That's amazing. So as your kids' teachers are struggling right now to teach through a virtual classroom or send you videos and send you resources, can she or he sense that God is with you, mamas, during this time? Can they sense that in the way that you're interacting, the way that you're loving on their kids? Can they sense that? Can your boss sense that you trust in the Lord more than a paycheck, which makes him or her take a breath for a minute during all the pressure that he or she feels, and even for a moment look up and vertically because of your witness and your trust in the Lord above and beyond a paycheck, which I'll tell you is distinct from everyone else that's under your boss's leadership. Witness. And the third one is peace. In this passage, 25 through 33, peace, there's a peace treaty that's signed between Isaac and Abimelech. And no credit to liar Isaac either. All credit to God here. Who brings the peace? Who brought that peace? Who brought that peace treaty? And the answer to that is undoubtedly, as we read this passage, it's undoubtedly God. God did it. God's grace brought peace in a season where there had been contention and enmity, in a season where there had been sin and lying, in a season of famine, he brought peace. That's amazing. This is a historical scene that happened. International peoples getting together. Turf wars happening. Identity crises for this man, Isaac, and his family. What is the future going to hold? And in the midst of all of that, because these people sat down and met with God, God granted peace. We try to gather peace on the outside, and sometimes God gives it, and that's good. It's awesome when he does. That's the cream, all right? Remember that blessing really is our relationship with the Lord. When God says, I will bless you, it means he's with us. That's number one blessing, and then material, those are cream, right? But there's plenty of Christians in history that have not had material blessings, but they have been very spiritually blessed, and those people are in heaven just like we're going to be in heaven, regardless of the material stuff. So don't build your life on the material, but on the spiritual things. Trust the Lord and let him give you peace in your soul that surpasses all understanding and all circumstances, no matter what. The biggest peace that God gives is inside us, and it cannot be taken by a virus or anything. 2 Corinthians 12:9, one of my favorite verses and likely yours. It says, but he said to me, this is Paul speaking about his relationship with Jesus and Paul having a meeting with Jesus. My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Just think about that for one moment. Jesus Christ says to Paul, who is a strong man. I respect him greatly. I know all of you do. He says, my grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in what? Your weakness. Meaning when we're weak, we realize how strong Jesus is and how present Jesus is with us. And then Paul responds by saying, I'll boast in my weaknesses then. I'm not going to try to parade how strong I am and how hunky-dory everything is, how I've got everything together. Instead, I want to say how weak I am and then show people how Jesus is working in my life. I've told you guys that last Friday, Good Friday, was a big time for me, and I know it was for many of you. God brought his torch of light to me and kind of burned away some cobwebs. I just needed to spend some long, like, hours of time with him praying and talking to him and let him minister to me. It was so useful. He just took me into the kind of the dark cave and burned away the cobwebs and brought his light and showed me the way out, showed me who he is, who I am, and what's ahead. And it was so good. It was Friday. And I needed that so much. And it was sufficient for a weekend of ministry, Good Friday and Easter. But you know what? I needed it again on Monday morning, and I didn't get it. And I should know better. Just to get with the Lord. I jumped on other tasks. I got after other things. I got to work because I was eager. Man, I got to get with the Lord. We got to get with the Lord. We got to sit down with him. We got to bow our heads. We got to get in his word. We got to open up his book and read his eternal truths to us, because he is sufficient in these times. And we're so tempted, maybe more than ever, to think that other things are sufficient. But God is really the one that is sufficient for us. His presence is sufficient. So listen, maybe you haven't sat down with him in a while. And I want to say to you, do it. And he's not going to be the God that's atop the playground perch pointing out to you, weakling. He's going to be the God that comes and meets with you and ministers to you. That's who he is. That's what he's done. And maybe you're thinking, I don't even know God. I'm a sinner. I need a savior so bad. Maybe someone you know has been sharing the good news of Jesus with you. I want to tell you that person loves you like crazy. That is the most important loving message anyone could ever tell you. That person loves you. They're pointing you to your creator. That's amazing. And you're just realizing, I am a sinner. Like point two this morning, God's presence is sufficient in my sin. That God would meet you in your sin is an amazing truth. And if you're hearing that today and responding, praise God. Just confess your sin to the Lord. Confess your need for your Savior. Your Savior is Jesus. He paid the penalty for your sin on the cross. He wiped it away from you. And by placing your faith in him and believing on him for life, he'll grant it and you're saved. Just pray and confess and be saved today. Let us know. Let us know. Maybe right now you can take a minute and just talk to the Lord. Maybe adrenaline has worn off for you. And you're thinking, what am I going to turn to? I need more adrenaline. I've been drinking more coffee, right? But that adrenaline lasts for 4 hours. We need the Lord. And so let him minister to you. Let him use this time to make you stronger. Not glory to you, strong, but glory to him who's strong in your weaknesses. Take a minute right now. Take a minute right now and just think about who God is and who you are in him and what's for sure coming because of him. And that's heaven. And that's more of his presence and fellowship all the days of your life here, and then certainly in heaven when we're seeing him face to face. Those realities are so important when there's a lot of question marks ahead. So take a minute right now and just talk to the Lord. Lord, I'm away from you. Lord, I'm a sinner. Save me. Lord, I'm weak. Strengthen me. That's where I was this week. I hit bottom Wednesday. That was it for me. Lord, I've been thankless. Thank you. Just like maybe you need a deep time of telling the Lord all the amazing things that he's doing. Just catch up on some of that stuff. Let's today be the day for those. Just talk to him for a minute right now. Lord, you are God. You say, fear not. You say, I will bless you. You say, you will multiply our offspring. You say that a future is ahead for us, and we believe you, God. And in response, we worship. We give to you our fears, we give to you our anxieties, and we praise you, God, for your presence. We thank you for your forgiveness. We thank you for your salvation. We thank you for living hope through Jesus Christ. And we thank you that our lives can be built on the cornerstone of Jesus Christ. everything lined up with him, the hope that we have in him, Lord. I pray over everybody right now that they would know that you're with them and that you love them.